the two-front war in Libya.
Humanitarian relief is beginning to reach the people who need it. For example, just today, we learned that at least 18 doctors and nurses from an organization funded by the United States Agency for International Development had arrived in Benghazi and were beginning to provide support to the city's main hospital.
While the coalition enforces a no-fly zone and bombs Muammar Gaddafi's troops from the air, civilians flee for safety.
Are they running to the coalition for safety from Gaddafi or from the coalition's bombs? The challenge of creating a no-flee zone for civilians in Libya. On The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee from Public Radio International and WNYC.
Good morning, everyone. A humanitarian crisis in Libya. We're going to try to find out who is fleeing that no-fly zone on this Friday, March 25th.
And in the headlines, let's update you on the military situation there. NATO is stepping it up in Libya.
We have decided to assume responsibility for the no-fly zone.
That is NATO Secretary General Anders Fogh Rasmussen. He says the alliance will patrol the skies but will not go after Gaddafi's forces on the ground. U.S. Vice Admiral Bill Gortney says the U.S. will continue to lead those attacks.
When and where regime forces threaten the lives of their own citizens, they will be attacked. When and where regime forces fly combat aircraft or fire coalition aircraft, they will be attacked. And when and where regime forces attempt to break the embargo, they will be stopped.
This morning, the United Arab Emirates announced it will send 12 fighter jets to help enforce the no-fly zone.
The airstrikes appear to be shifting the momentum, possibly, in Libya. Gaddafi's forces pulled their tanks and artillery out of Misrata last night. A handful of soldiers stayed behind, and there are reports of sporadic fighting there. An eruption of protests, though, is expected in several Middle Eastern countries after Friday prayers in Syria. Thousands are expected to rally against what human rights activists like Walid Safour call the most repressive government in the region.
Syria is the worst Arab country as regarding general liberties, worse than any country in the Middle East.
Syrian President Bashar al-Assad has vowed to introduce reforms, though. Safar, the humanitarian critic, says it's too little and too late for protesters.
People are sick of the state of emergency, are sick of the rule of the security and intelligence apparatus, are sick of the life.
There are reports of protesters gathering in the Syrian city of Daraa, despite being fired on in recent days, but no visible signs of security forces.
Security forces are gathering in Yemen's capital this hour, ahead of what anti-government protesters say will be their largest rally yet. And in Bahrain, protesters have planned a rally in the capital's main square today, despite violent crackdowns earlier this week and the presence of foreign soldiers on the streets. And there's another setback this morning in Japan's nuclear crisis. Officials say there's evidence of a breach in the inner containment wall of Reactor 3 at the troubled Fukushima plant. That's the only reactor at the site with MOX fuel, a mixture of uranium and plutonium that's highly radioactive. Officials realized the breach when water inside the reactor was 10,000 times more radioactive than they expected it to be.
Got your tax refund yet? Well, General Electric, the largest corporation in the United States, did not pay U.S. taxes last year, despite domestic profits of more than $5 billion. And our partner, the New York Times, says GE actually pocketed more than $3 billion in tax benefits. How's that for a refund? The dance is over for Duke and the NCAA. The defending national champs got knocked out by Arizona. Florida, Butler, and the University of Connecticut all won their Sweet 16 games and are moving on. Asian and European markets are up this morning. Futures are up for Wall Street. The Dow gets underway at 12,170. The S&P opens at 1,309, and the Nasdaq opens at 2,736. It's now 3 or 4 days of a rally going there on Wall Street. The seventh day of airstrikes in Libya, the international aid groups are now sounding the alarm over food, water, and electricity shortages. Coming up next, we're looking at the humanitarian effort to save Libyans and the pendulum swinging. As far as the U.S. Census is concerned, perhaps there's a migration from north to south among African Americans who migrated north from the south two generations ago.
What's your take? Leave a comment at thetakeaway.org or call us toll free at 877-8-MY-TAKE.
869-8253.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour.
There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.